season's greetings, everyone. We welcome you back to another episode of Inside Boxing Live, your favorite boxing podcast. I am Dan Canobio. He is the former world champion, Chris Algieri. And do we have a big one for you today? Heavyweight loaded type of show because the Day of Reckoning over in Saudi Arabia is right around the corner. Six of the top 10 Ring Magazine heavyweights will be in action, including Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua. Will they fight in March? We will see who will play spoiler, who will have the biggest upset, who will make the biggest fool of themselves. It's going to be an awesome day on Saturday, December 23rd. We will get to that. We'll also talk about Bam Rodriguez, Teofimo Lopez, Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia. Just because it's the end of the year doesn't mean boxing is slowing down. It's actually heating up, as crazy as that sounds. Let's bring in our co-host, Mr. Chris Algieri. How are you, my friend?
Dan the man. Doing good, man. I got my Christmas hat on. It's getting chilly. We're having a little South Florida cold snap going on right now. So
nice. Let's talk weather like we always do. How cold is it there?
It's in the 60s right now, dude.
Oh, you poor man. I was just out there in Orlando last week for this Jake Paul fight. It was like 70 and I was loving it because it's about 30 here in New York City. So had that whole experience with the Jake Paul crowd. That was interesting. He got a knockout and says he wants to continue on. Also, did you see he's doing something with Team USA Boxing? I thought that was pretty cool.
I did see that, and I was talking to our guy, Paul Malignaggi, about that, and I think that's great. It's going to get some clout for them. We have more eyes. I think that's really good. Really good.
You know, it's funny because people were confused. They're like, does this mean he's going to box in the Olympics? I had people tweeting me because I tweeted about it. I was like, no. I was always said for years that the USA boxing team has gotten zero recognition or zero attention. There always needed to be like a big name. Like I always thought like Andre Ward or Roy Jones, just to be like the face of it, just to like show up with the guys, do interviews, just be that big time face. And no one ever did it. And I feel like that's the reason why we're seeing like such a decline in like prospects, is because no one knows what's going on in the Olympics. So if Jake Paul can bring some of what he does with the marketing and all that to the Olympic team and shine some light on some of these kids, I don't see how it could be like a negative thing.
Honestly, I think he would be even better than those guys you mentioned, the Roy Joneses or the Mike Tysons. I mean, maybe not Mike, but like Roy is like our generation. Right. You know, these younger guys, I know a lot of these younger fighters, that guy we were interviewing pros this weekend, like they don't even know about my fights. Some of them, they don't know about Sugar Ray Leonard fights. They don't know about the fights that they're not addicts like we are. But Jake Paul, I think he moves the needle for this younger generation. So I think he's actually better than those older name guys when it comes to boxing, because you know he's doing it right now and he gets so many eyes. I think that's actually a really good thing for those young guys and could really help the program.
Yeah, see how it plays out. I think also, too, like, you know, Jake does have a promotional company, so he can get in with some of these fighters and
that's also very smart.
Potentially he's sign them down the road.
The newest crop of potential pros.
Right. Paris Olympics right around the corner. So hopefully it brings more eyeballs to the Olympic team. Chris, this episode is brought to you by our friends at HelloFresh. They just dropped off a delivery to my door yesterday, and I'm going to use it today when I don't want to go out and do food shopping because it's cold out and I have a bunch of things to do in terms of Christmas shopping and all that. Because I wait to the last minute. You don't have to wait to the last minute with HelloFresh. They can actually be delivered right to your door. You can actually save money this month with fresh recipes delivered cheaper than takeout, pre-proportioned ingredients, and you'll never waste any money or excess food. Chris, you're working like a dog these days, 9 to 5 over at ProBox. They're working you. It's almost like you have a 9 to 5 office job. Right.
Yeah. Right. It's interesting.
We'll have more on that later. I myself work in the office at John Boy Media and I come home around 5-6 o'clock. I don't want to cook. With HelloFresh, you have your meals and everything right there for you. Fresh ingredients that you can just step by step cook them up. And it's amazing. They have 45 recipes, 100 seasonal add-on items to choose from every week. So it's easier to find something you will enjoy. So go to HelloFresh.com/boxingfree. Let's use code boxing free for free breakfast for life, for the rest of your life. That's what we're doing for you today. One breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/boxing free. Code boxing free and start using America's number one meal kit today. All right.
I'm not going to lie. The first few times I used HelloFresh, I just used the ingredients and made my own food. But like you said, like now I've actually been busy. So like I followed some of the directions. I made a shepherd's pie the other day.
Damn.
From wow. dude, that it was awesome. Like from scratch, you have the potatoes in there, they have the meat, you
Yeah.
cook it all up, put it all together.
That's what's kind of fun
Knockout.
about HelloFresh. It's like they give you all the ingredients. Like cooking's fun and they can give you
Yeah.
the steps. If you're not like, I wouldn't say you're a chef, but you like to fancy yourself as a cook,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, I can cook, yeah.
Myself, I like to do it here and there, but you have the ingredients right in front of you. It's kind of fun and it's easy.
And
And
step-by-step instructions that are easy to
yeah.
follow. So it actually teaches you how to cook, which is, I think is really, that's the coolest part about it.
One of my favorite partners we have here at Inside Boxing Life is HelloFresh. So get yourself some free breakfast for life. All right, let's get to some of the headlines. Bam Rodriguez stops Sonny Edwards. Wow. Didn't think the fight was going to go like this. Didn't think Sonny Edwards would stand and trade. Maybe he thought, hey, there's no way I can possibly win a fight backing up, possibly win a fight on my back foot. So I'm going to stand and trade with the bigger puncher. Tip my hat to Sonny Edwards. Tough little son of a gun, but
Tough.
he got bammed. Over 60% of his power shots, Bam lands on a guy that was very slippery before that. This guy's the truth, man. This is now a two-division unified champion, 23 years old. World is his oyster. I mean, this kid is something special, and I can't wait to see what he does next.
Bam is my favorite fighter in the world today. After that performance, he was very, very close. Very, very close for me anyway. You know, we're very Bam Bam forward on this podcast. We have been for a couple of years now. He was our runner up for Fighter of the Year last year.
Right.
And man, what a performance against his toughest opponent to date. I mean, Sonny Edwards can really fight. And we did a lot of homework leading up to this matchup. And I thought this is one of the most competitive matchups of the year. And Bam just bammed him. Like you said, he's on a different level, this kid. Talking about Sonny, he stood and traded more. You know, you were saying, hey, maybe he did that because he thought that was his own. I don't think so. I think Bam forced him to. Bam was cutting off the ring like a wizard, and he was out jabbing Sonny Edwards. He was outboxing him. He was better in every way. The power was really the difference between the two. But even beyond that, Bam was just a step ahead of everything. He had a great game plan. He was laser focused. They had the strategy, the technique, everything. He punched shorter, he punched tighter, he punched harder. Man, I there's so many good things I can say about Bam. And on top of that, he's a nice kid, man. Did you see that when they went in the they
Yeah.
showed them in the afterwards when Bam
I
went
love that
into Sonny
stuff.
Edwards? That's awesome. Gives him back his belt.
Yeah.
Congratulates him. That's what being a champion is all about. Bam, that's my favorite fighter in the world today.
Classy kid, and he had a few, I wouldn't say stellar performances. His last one wasn't the Bam we saw. He got his jaw broken, and then he fought Israel Gonzalez, and it wasn't like the Bam we saw that was stopping Rungvisai or
Or beating up
Quadras,
Quadras.
but forget it now. I mean, this was a virtuoso performance, one of the better performances of the year. Goes up there amongst the performance of the year category. And then you look at what's next. Like obviously, Matchroom Mannix tweeted this, and I put it out there, and I got a bunch of flack for it or pushback. Is down the line we could see a Nioh Inoue Bam Rodriguez fight. I didn't mean next. I mean way down the line. Like if Bam, we got to see how bigger Bam gets because he's already talking about going back to 115. You got to see where will Inoue stop in terms of going up in weight. But that's like a fight at the lower weights below 130. Those are clearly two of the best guys there. That's a fight that I wouldn't say is out of the question, but it's not next. But Bam Rodriguez, Inoue, that's something that could happen down the line.
Yeah, but I think Bam has so many good fights leading up to that. That's probably why you got so much pushback on that. But it's hard not to when you got guys that are in the lighter weights. They always end up fighting each other anyway because it's just not the talent pool is just not as large down there.
Right.
And to make the money, they have to fight each other. So yeah, I understand where you came from, but I also understand what the pushback maybe because there's so many other good fights for Bam right now. I would love to see him unify 112 with the Martinez fight, who was supposed to fight on Saturday, had visa issues, quote unquote visa issues, probably
Again,
weight
that guy's
issues.
cursed.
Probably weight issues, honestly. That's a fight I'd like to see. I think that's a fun fight too. I think because Martinez is a tough SOB. And then after that, you've got the Chocolatitos of the world, and you move up. There's a lot of good fights out there for Bam. I favor Bam in all of those. But then even at 22, you got like Figueroa. You've got, Stephen Fulton's still around. I don't know where he's going to end up, but yeah, we got a couple more years before Bam can get that big. Although I know do know Bam gets very big in between fights and he's heavy, so I don't think thinking of him at 122 is crazy at all. You
Yeah,
know,
it
he's
just
at
depends on where
12
Inoue
now.
goes.
He's been at 15. He looked good at 15. 18, I could see it. 22, I could see it. 26 would probably be his ceiling in my eyes.
Yeah.
In terms of physical size and also just being able to deal with the competition, even at that level. But so we're probably a couple years off from that. But he's young. He's 23.
23 years old. This is the best fighter.
He's still
under
growing.
25, man. I mean,
dude,
that's what I mean.
I grew another inch after 23. I grew an inch in height after 23.
Damn,
so.
I didn't. I think I lost an inch. Damn it. But there are names. He's talking about going to 115. There was obviously all the superflies there. Ron Francisco Estrada is a name that he mentioned afterwards.
What a fight.
That would be an awesome one. That's a name.
I favor Bam in that as well.
Okay. How about Junto Nakatani? Who absolutely destroyed Maloney earlier this year, probably knockout of the year. That one right there.
That's my knockout of the year.
Realistic.
Yeah.
That's a fight.
Oh, that's
for
a tough
Bam.
Fight. I don't. That's a 50-50 fight for me.
Right. If he gets through that.
Nakatani's.
Right. Let's say Bam beats, goes up to 115. Doesn't see anything from at 112. Goes up to 115. Beats Estrada. Then goes on and beats Nakatani. Then this fight with Inoue keeps doing what he does. Then it becomes even bigger. Then you're talking about maybe 2025, 2026, Inoue, Bam Rodriguez. A lot has to go right for this to happen, but it's not out of the question.
No, it's not out of the question, but dude, you know how boxing is. There's so many moving parts for that fight to end up happening. You know, they're going to have to fight at 26. That's where Inoue's at now, right?
You got to figure, no, he's at 122. You got to figure.
He's at 22.
Okay. You got to figure he's going to go to 126.
18-22, yeah.
You think that's the Inoue's ceiling?
26, yeah. I mean,
30's pushing it.
It's not impossible because his power's so legit and he's showing it even at 22, but yeah. I mean, no, it's not that far off. It's, you know, again, because Bam at 23 is still growing and he's already fought at 15. He whittled himself back down to 12 because of these opportunities, which was ultimately in the hindsight now is a very, very smart move. But I remember him saying fight week already talking about going to 15. I'm like, if he's mentioning it during fight week, that probably means he's struggling.
Yeah.
So he's it's going to be tough for him to stay at 12. So like you said, it's probably going to be 15 next. How long is he going to stay at 15? That could be a launching pad for him to go to 18. And then now we're in discussions.
There's not many names at 115. He's already taken out a lot of the kings there already. Rung Vasai, Quadras, Juan Francisco Estrada is one of them. He's, you know, towards the end of his career. Chocolatito hasn't fought in many years. I don't think Chocolatito and Bam will ever fight. I know they are very, I would say, close friends. I've asked Bam about it. Like, they have the same promoter. I forgot the guy's name. The guy over in Japan works with Chocolatito and Bam Rodriguez. So he's very respectful of Chocolatito, but we haven't seen much of Roman Gonzalez, so it's hard to put him in the equation.
Dude, that doesn't mean a damn thing.
I know. Money talks.
Money talks. And opportunities like these come around once a career. So, I mean, that's...
I think Bam would piece up Roman pretty good.
I think so, too, based on his age. But you can never count out Chocolatito, man. He's Chocolatito. There's a reason he's a legend.
I wish we can just age him back 10 years and then insert him back into these big fights. Chocolatito,
aged himself back 5 years. The guy came back. Like he's something else, man.
He's so
incredible.
Awesome. Oh, man, really I miss his fights. All right, let's go to 140 pounds. Ryan Garcia has informed Team Golden Boy to make a fight with Devin Haney. Devin Haney has confirmed it. He says negotiations have begun. This isn't exactly the fight we have to see at 140, but I will gladly accept it. Ryan Garcia running towards the smoke once again, going up against his amateur nemesis, 3-3 in the amateur ranks against Devin Haney. I like this fight. Listen, I'll take any big fight at 140.
I don't dislike this fight, but I don't love it either. I mean, I'm sorry, Ryan, I'm going to be harsh, man. I don't think you deserve it. Devin Haney is streaking. He just completely beat up and dominated Progre. Devin Haney was never calling out Regis Progre, Ryan Garcia was never calling out Regis Progre, and Devin jumped up first fight in the weight class and smokes him, wins every second of every round, and sets a record for the least amount of punches landed in a thank you compa box in a championship fight.
36.
So that's crazy.
I understand why you don't. And you said he doesn't deserve it, but we talked about this numerous times on the show. Meritocracy doesn't exist in boxing. It's about what can you do? What can you bring to the table? How many eyeballs can you bring to a pay-per-view? Ryan Garcia can do that. He's got a $1.2 million pay-per-view, excuse me, 1.2 buys with Gervonta Davis. He's got
people talking about him. Yeah, but isn't the cat out of the bag a little bit after that one?
What do you mean?
In terms of Ryan's ability at the high, at this highest level.
Of course. Of course. Haney, I tweeted this. Haney is
But that's my point about the numbers.
Favorite. Haney's going to be the sizable favorite. He's going to...
But like, the numbers.
What numbers are you talking about here?
I'm talking about the pay-per-view buys. Like, everyone's going to call, pay-per-view buys. And even Ryan calls out the pay-per-view buys that he had from Tank. But dude, the cat's out of the bag now. No one, they're not going to buy the Haney the same way they were the Gervonta fight.
Especially 1.2 for sure. And that's a very sensitive subject for Ryan Garcia. If anyone says that it was Tank that pushed those buys, he'll come right after. You just went after Ellie Secback, who tweeted that. Excuse me.
I think it was combined. I mean, it's combined. They're both stars.
It's just a silly discussion. But who was more responsible for the pay-per-view? Because you'll never figure out who it was. It was a combined thing, right? The moral of the story is that Ryan Garcia is one of the bigger names in the sport. He's going to keep getting these opportunities until he's completely flushed out of the picture. That's not here yet, but you have to respect him going for these types of fights. You have to respect him, you know, calling out Devin Haney. Haney's going to be the sizable favorite. It's gaining a lot of momentum. Haney has confirmed it. You know, he's retweeting stuff. He's putting stuff on his Instagram story. He went on Ariel Helwani and said, yes, we are talking to Oscar De La Hoya. We're talking, Eddie Hearn is involved as well. There's no network to get in the way. They can do it on DAZN pay-per-view. Don't need any more cooks in the kitchen here. Obviously, we want to see Tank and Devin Haney, but I don't think that – I think give that like a 0.1% chance of happening. There's too much going on with Tank Davis, and he's at 135. I mean, Teofimo versus Haney, I believe, is
that's the
better
fight.
But
that's
that
the
for
fight.
Some, you know, Teofimo's not fighting Jermaine Ortiz on Super Bowl weekend.
I'd much rather see Matias and Haney than this fight. I mean, there's so many good fights at 40, which is what irks me so much about Haney, like, and what they've been saying from their side. They're talking about going up to 47. We're gonna fight Josh Taylor. We're gonna fight Conor Benn. We want Crawford and then, Boots and whatever. And then you're talking about fighting Ryan, who's coming up from 35 and hasn't had a title at 40, hasn't had many good wins at 40 as a, you know, not real 40 pounders. What are we doing? We got so many good, talented guys that are, you know, they're money making fights too, but, you know, they're not Ryan Garcia money, but they're titles.
I feel like that's what Haney's doing a little bit of both. Haney is taking pages out of everyone's book. You know, I'm going to do the whole thing with legacy, right? I've done that. I've won Undisputed at 135. Yeah. I went to 149, just became a world champ there. But I'm also going to look for the biggest fights possible. And I'm also going to take a book
bag.
I'm also going to look at what Mayweather did in the past and what Cotto did in the past and what Canelo's doing right now in terms of not getting locked into long-term deals with networks and promoters. He fought for Top Rank.
They've been brilliant in terms of the way they've maneuvered themselves that way.
And he's still saying that now. He's like, I'm not getting locked in with Matchroom. It's fight to fight, maybe two fight deal here and there. So he's doing a little bit of both. And it's modern day how to navigate through the current waters of boxing is don't get locked into a promoter and a network. Chase the biggest fights possible if they present themselves. Like, I'm sure that there are other fights out there for legacy would be Matias, would be Teofimo. This will all happen at the end of 2024, 2025. But if a
this
Ryan
is
Garcia
why I love
fight.
Teofimo.
Right. But if a Ryan Garcia fight's just going to be presented to you at your doorstep,
no,
if you're Haney, you got to take it.
I'm not knocking Haney for it. I would rather him fight these other guys. And it irks me from, like you said, from a sports perspective, but from a personal or an individual perspective, it makes perfect sense. It's an easier fight. It's going to garner a lot of money and a lot of attention, a lot of eyes. And I think at this point, a lot of these guys, say what you will, Gervonta's a star, Ryan's a star, but they have different fan bases. And Gervonta got to cut into some of Ryan's fan base with that win. And Haney's going to look to do the same. A lot of these guys are. They're going to target Ryan. One, it's going to be a lot of money because he brings all those eyes. But also, you're going to get access to his fan base, which a lot of other fighters do not. Ryan has a very special fan base. He's a very special individual. He's different than other fighters. So it's a way for them to access. So from the business perspective, yeah, it makes a lot of sense for Haney and Haney's crew, which we understand. We know how brilliant they are in terms of the way they maneuver Devin. And we're gonna tip our hat to Bill on this one. He's been fantastic.
Guy's everywhere. Every time I put up Twitter, it's his face right there.
He's killing it.
He's negotiating with everyone. He's doing all sorts of podcasts, whatever. He's gonna pop up right next on this Zoom call out of nowhere. The thing with the actual fight. Like, I'm people talking about the amateur thing. I even brought it up, too. It's like, yeah, that was so long ago. They went 3-3. Devin Haney's on another level right now. Obviously, that performance against Prograis. The thing with Haney, that I'm intrigued with this fight and Ryan Garcia is with Haney, he doesn't have that one punch knockout power. He's very precise. Obviously, with Ryan Garcia is issues with defense, issues with chin. I think it will go rounds. That's what makes it intriguing to me is that if Ryan can catch him, if Ryan can show off that speed, which he's shown in every single fight that he's been in, that he has, to show off that power, it could be an intriguing fight if it goes rounds, which it should because I don't see Haney stopping Ryan Garcia. I still think Haney will win a comfortable decision, but it will go rounds. Like, we won't have to be sitting on the edge of our seat wondering if Ryan's going to get absolutely obliterated and knocked out, you know, in the seventh round.
I disagree. I think Haney stops him. I think he's going to hit him too much. And Ryan's always dangerous. I don't think anyone's blowing Ryan out. He's way too big and he's way too dangerous and he's fast and he hits hard. I think Devin's going to take his time, break him down. And I could see like a Diego Corrales, Floyd Mayweather type performance where it's just wow. Virtuoso picking him apart. I don't see Ryan being able to land on Haney. Prokhorov couldn't touch him. And, obviously, definitely Ryan's faster and longer, but he's not active. He's not really good at pushing guys back. When he fought aggressive against Tank, he just left so many openings. And I think Devin will be able to take advantage of that. And Devin showed very decent power at 40. He dropped Prokhorov. He hurt him several times.
True.
The kid's not a puncher, but he can punch, and he's physically strong. And especially at this weight, I mean, he looked great at 40. Yeah. There's reports that he weighed 165 pounds come fight night.
Insane. Will there be rehydration clauses? That'd be ironic because Ryan hated him. Ryan said, no, there won't be. There will not be any rehydration clause. It's not against the rules. What Haney did was illegal. It was maybe like, I don't know. It's up to you as a fighter how much you want to hydrate to. Obviously, it worked out for Haney because he looked absolutely.
Well, yeah, it's not always beneficial to get that heavy after weighing. So,
of course,
that's why I don't believe in these rehydration clauses because guys can hurt themselves overhydrating. Gotti used to do that. He used to blow up and it hurt him at times. I mean, in the Robinson fights, I mean, he was slow, sluggish, and got beat to the punch at every moment by a guy who was not a puncher and he was getting his ass kicked because he was just too slow. It doesn't always help you. Canelo came in way bigger than Floyd, and it didn't matter. At the highest level, those size differences in terms of the weight don't matter as much.
We see it time and time again throughout boxing. We'll see where these negotiations go with Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney. They seem to be playing out on social media, which isn't always the best thing, but we'll see if the fight happens or who will be to blame if it breaks down. I'm sure the boxing fans will be pointing the finger both ways. This fight doesn't happen. All right, it's time for our big fight preview. The day of reckoning is upon us. One of the best heavyweight cards in the history of boxing. 6 of the top 10 heavyweights are on this card. You got Anthony Joshua. You got Deontay Wilder, Otto Wallin, Joseph Parker, Jarrell Miller, Philip Hrgović, Junior Fa, Frank Sanchez, Daniel Dubois. It is a smorgasbord of heavyweights. For your liking, December 23rd, Saudi Arabia, going to be one heck of a afternoon/evening, Chris.
I love it. I've gotten really excited. I was poo-pooing this card a while ago because it was like all my favorite fighters, all the guys that I want to see fight, not fighting each other. But I don't care. They're all fighting, and it's all heavyweights, and it's great. It's the return of Dmitry Bivol, which I'm super excited about. I've been beside myself the fact that this poor man has not been able to compete. He's one of the best fighters in the world, and it has been no issue of his own that has kept him out of the ring, and I think that's disgusting. So having him back is great. I love the Jarrell Miller, Daniel Dubois fight. As much as I am adamant against guys who are drug cheats, Miller is a interesting guy, and honestly, I mean, he's fighting Dubois.
That's probably the most intriguing fight on the card.
Yeah, it's a very intriguing matchup. Do they match up with the other guys? No, probably not. They're never probably going to get up to that higher level, especially because Miller has failed so many tests.
Well, Dubois was at the highest level and he quit.
Yeah, but he's quit twice now. So I don't think anyone's going to really take him seriously. So cool, put him in fights like this that are fun. Yeah. And Miller is always ridiculous at fight weeks because he's just such a boisterous person. Frank Sanchez back. You said he's fighting Junior Fa, which is a decent fight. Hrgović is one of the most dangerous guys in the division. So anytime we get to see him, and I think he is a sleeper that a lot of people don't know about yet. Mm-hmm. For the casual fans or the people who are not as deep ingrained as we are. But yeah, it's a fun fight. And even looking at the main events, the deeper you look, the more interesting they are. The matchups aren't the matchups we want, but they're not easy fights. Joseph Parker, Deontay Wilder, I think on paper, people are like, oh, man, you know, Wilder's going to knock him out. Well, you know, Parker's only been stopped once, and he got stopped by a guy who throws a ton of punches.
He got
Deontay does not
beaten down in that fight.
Yeah.
Against Deontay, Joe Joyce.
Right. And Joe Joyce is not a light puncher. The guy has a lot of knockouts. He can punch, but he's a combination puncher, and he breaks you down. Deontay's a one-punch guy. And Parker has been very solid throughout his entire career. He's gone the distance with Anthony Joshua. So, yeah, that's not an easy fight. It's not a foregone conclusion. I think actually Parker is going to make that fight very, very ugly and be very successful early on. Because Deontay Wilder, until he knocks you out, he doesn't look that great a lot of the time. So that's an interesting fight. And then Ottobalin is an expert at making you look bad. You know, he did it with Tyson Fury. I was at that fight. I was ringside. I had blood on my shirt from Tyson Fury's cut. To this day, which I will be selling on eBay. So nice. all you Gypsy King fans.
When he laced them, Ottobalin.
Get in there.
Classic nice guy, Ottobalin, lacing Tyson Fury. I'm not happy for Valine getting this shot. I mean, I feel like he hasn't
gotten. That cut was from a punch. That was a brutal overhand left that split his eye open.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting fight. I mean, that we could see an upset.
We are going to see some type of upset.
Either one.
We're going to see some type of upset. I don't know where it's going to come. We're not getting like the Wilder versus Joshua on this card. That's the one detraction of this mega event. But they have signed on the dotted line. There's a report out there that both fighters have signed the line March 9th. If Deontay Wilder gets past Parker, if Joshua gets past Valin, there will be that fight finally March 9th in Saudi Arabia. That adds extra intrigue to this ridiculously stacked pay-per-view.
Is it a two-fight deal?
Yes.
Can I shit on two-fight deals, please?
What do you mean? Like a two-fight deal in terms of them fighting like another time?
Yeah, I thought I read that. I might have had that wrong. That's why I'm asking.
Or do you mean it's like a two-fight deal, Wilder-Parker, then Wilder-Joshua?
So that's what I didn't understand. Did Joshua and Wilder agree to a two-fight
I'm
deal,
not 100% sure. I know that I know that Joshua signed on the dotted line to fight Wilder next.
Okay. So they're saying two-fight deal in terms of we have this fight on Saturday.
I would
and
not
then
be
you
surprised
are...
if there's a rematch clause for Joshua versus
See,
Wilder.
That's what I wanted to shit on, because I hate these two-fight deal things.
Of course.
We saw
but
this with Crawford Spence. Why is there a two-fight deal? The first fight was an absolute destruction.
That's the only way to get the first fight.
Yeah, but it's bad for the sport. It's,
of course.
How are you going to... Because if they go out there and... Heavyweights, I guess, are different, because even if a guy blasts you out, you can still come back and fight, because the one punch is what matters in heavyweight fights. But listen, if Wilder goes out there and starches him immediately, do we really, really want to see a rematch?
No, it's insurance. It's essentially an insurance policy. It's one of the worst things. And Matchroom does it a lot.
They're
called Matchroom Rematch Room, because they were doing these rematch clauses. And it's essentially an insurance policy for the loser, so they can get another payday out of it and they can do that. But what we eventually could get Wilder versus Joshua. That adds some intrigue to this card. We'll start with Joshua versus Valin. Third fight of the year for Joshua. Obviously, he fought Franklin. He fought Jermaine Franklin. He fought Helianus. Stopped Helianus with a brutal combination that looked like the AJ of old. You talk about how Valin is tricky. For Joshua, he's fighting a southpaw on 6 weeks' notice with a new trainer. He doesn't have Derek James in this camp. He has Ben Davison. That's tricky. That's interesting to me. Obviously, money talks, because they threw a bag at Joshua. In this second phase of Joshua's career, where he's, you know, carefully picking these opponents, to go with Valin, a southpaw on 6 weeks' notice, with a Wilder payday looming, goes against everything that Anthony Joshua has been about in the last couple of years, I would say. But it is respectable. I do think Joshua will win. He is the favorite. But I do think there's going to be a tricky spot. This could be the upset. Like, of all the fights on there, Valin could be the spoiler.
Added caveat, Anthony Joshua's mental situation.
Have you been watching the interviews with him?
He's been mental the past couple fights, past couple years. Basically, I think he's been mental since the Klitschko win. Because he hasn't been the same since then.
Right.
That looked like it was like, man, he just turned a corner. He is this guy. I was blown away that day. I was already a fan of Joshua. I was a huge fan after that, because Klitschko was my guy, and that fight was awesome. And it looked like Anthony Joshua was going to be an all-time great after that. And then ever since then, man, he's been afraid to go to those dark places, and he's never been able to do it comfortably since then. And for him to be put in a position like this, with the looming mega fight with Wilder, with the fact that all those facts that you just said, 6 weeks, southpaw, tough guy, like, yeah, this could be the upset. And I wouldn't be that surprised. You know, I want to see the Joshua Wilder fight. I do like Otto Valeen. He's a great guy. New York guy, trains with Joey Gamache.
Best guy. One of the nicest boxers I've ever met.
Joey Gamache is the man. And
I'm talking about Valeen. One of the
Otto's awesome.
Hard to believe that he's a boxer. That's how, like, gentle and soft.
Well, Joey's the same way. Joey Gamache is the same way. Right. But, you're right. You're right, Dan. This could be the upset. But I just wanted everyone at home, think about Anthony Joshua's mindset. Think about his psyche going into this fight with everything else that's looming.
We're always thinking about his psyche. It's all we talk about with this guy. Yeah. Does he have that dog in him? Is he going to come out and be a power puncher? Even this week, people are upset because he's giving interviews to some people. He's not giving interviews to others. He doesn't like that one guy from Queensbury Promotions, Dev. I don't know his last name. But, you know, he's talking to some. He's not talking to others. You know, he's constantly going to be dissected from a mental standpoint. So we'll see. But, you know, this guy threw 77% jabs against Hilliness. 77% of Joshua's thrown punches versus Hilliness were jabs. It's been upticking since the Klitschko fight. I've been documenting this for years. He used to be a more of a predatory type heavyweight. He would throw a lot more power shots than jabs.
Predatory knockout puncher.
Right.
He knocked everybody out back then.
Of course. Obviously, the opponents have gotten better. So, therefore, you're going to be a little more cautious. You're going to throw your jab more. But not to the extent of 77%. Which is an insanely lopsided type of thing there. So we'll see what type of Joshua comes out. I kind of think this is what he is now. He's not going to change his approach this late in his career. He's a jab-first boxer, heavyweight, and he's going to look for an opening and try to land. Same thing for Valeen. Valeen threw 873 jabs versus Gassiev. That was a CompuBox record. Most jabs thrown in a heavyweight fight ever. So don't expect a shootout in the main event. You could be seeing a jab fest between Otto Valeen and Anthony Joshua.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because Valeen's a southpaw.
True. He's still going to throw
it. Joshua's jab is going to be less of a factor, and he cannot just jab.
Well, that's intriguing to me because I don't want to see him jab that much.
Yeah, well, that's why. Maybe that's why this fight is being made. Maybe that's why they're picking a southpaw for Joshua. Is to, you know, so it's not going to just be a jab fest and he has to throw that right hand. He did things really, like some really nice things in the rematch with Usyk fighting. Again, we're talking about southpaws. He threw a lot more power punches that fight. He fought on the inside really well. I think he's going to need to do that with Valeen. Maybe that is the mindset of why they're thinking this could be a good fight matchup for them to lead into the Deontay Wilder fight. The jab's going to be important in the Wilder fight, but I think a lot of the physicality on the inside is going to be really important. And maybe that's why this could be a step. I was trying to think, why would they fight a southpaw if they're getting ready for Wilder?
Saudis just dropped a bag on their lap.
Yeah, but they could pick anybody. They could pick anybody in the world. Anybody in the world's taking that call. They're taking that fight. Oh, you want to fight Anthony Joshua in Saudi for X amount of money?
They should just put Miller in there with Joshua. I mean, they're chirping at each other. Everyone's intrigued by that. They should just put Miller in there with Joshua and got Miller out of there.
That's a little too dangerous. That's maybe too dangerous. Miller's a big dude, man. I think that wouldn't go over well because of the drug charges, the drug stuff. Nobody would accept that fight.
If you're interested in Otto Valeen to win a decision, he is a +285 live dog on DraftKings. Joshua is
that's
a minus.
It?
Yeah. +285. Wow. They're looking at it as a somewhat close fight. Let's see in props. Joshua by knockout, which he hasn't done he beat Hilliness, but he hasn't dropped like in their prime heavyweight in a while. +155, Joshua by KO. Will we see that? Will we see Joshua go for the kill in this fight? Will we see Joshua knock out Otto Valeen, or will it be a points win for Joshua?
I think he's going to go for it. I don't know if he's going to get it.
Hope he does.
It would be good for the sport if he were to get a knockout. If both guys get knockouts to set up this mega fight, I think that's the best for everyone except for, you know, Parker and Valeen, obviously. But
I have a lukewarm take here. If one of them loses, we will still see Joshua versus Wilder.
Agreed. That we can bet on. That's a bet we can take. We'll take that one. Even if one loses, we're still going to see it.
Because there's no title involved. They're big names. The fans still want to see it. There are people.
Dan, I wonder if that's in the contract. I'm wondering what the fine lines in the contract are, the things that we'll never see. I bet you that's in there.
Win or lose, I do think they still fight. They both lose. Obviously, that makes the fight even – it makes it – takes away some of the intrigue of it. But if one of them loses, like, at this close decision, they're still going to fight. There's too much money on the line. They're too big of names. But by this point, let's head over to
Deontay. The betting lines on this card is going to be awesome.
What's that?
Between the betting line on these cards, like, this whole card, there's going to be so many parlays. Like, people are making their mortgage on this one.
Yeah, they're making or losing last minute, it. Last minute, exactly. Last minute Christmas bets here. So use DraftKings if you are making your parlays. I'm going to make up a big, nice, long parlay for this one. Let's go to Deontay Wilder. He's back. Deontay Wilder, heavyweight division is a lot more exciting when Deontay Wilder is in the picture. It's his first fight since knocking out Robert Helenius. That was in October of 2022. It's been a very long time since Wilder has been in the ring. He has the highest KO ratio of any heavyweight in history, 91%. What Parker has going for him, second fight in the last 56 days. He has fought in Saudi Arabia. Deontay Wilder has only fought off of U.S. soil once in England. I think it was in 2016. Fun fight. Parker, a little
Deontay's also 38 years old.
38 years old. Parker up there in age too, but not as old as Wilder. A little shop-worn from that Joyce destruction. I thought that Parker would never be the same after that. He's bounced back with a few wins, albeit not over elite opponents here. But I could see this playing out, and this is not another lukewarm take, is that Parker will win some of those early rounds. He will be giving Wilder issues, and it's just, all right, when's Wilder going to detonate that right hand? That's what makes Deontay Wilder fights fun. Like this fight. Perfectly fine type of fight for Deontay Wilder with Joseph Parker.
Yeah, I think actually Parker's going to be kicking Deontay Wilder's ass for the first couple of fights, first half of the fight at least.
Okay.
And then it's just because it's that great line that Wilder has. You got to be locked in and perfect for 12 rounds. I got to be perfect for 2 seconds.
Bam.
It's just bam. And the guy has poison in that right hand. And he's just waiting on it. And he knows it. He believes in that power, as he should. I think up until then, like I said, like, generally when Wilder is not knocking you out, he doesn't look that great. He's awkward. He's got Bambi legs. He's all over the ring sometimes. He does some weird, unathletic looking movements in there. So I up until the point of the stoppage, I think this might be a really ugly fight, and Parker is probably going to be in control.
Talk about that wild form from Deontay Wilder. During that 7-fight KO streak, when he was champion, he was knocking dudes out left and right. His jab was at an elite level. We talked about the jab with Joshua. This is how you use a jab correctly. Wilder, 8 of 40, which is 8 jabs per round. That's like, you're elite in boxing if you can land that type of number. He was setting up that right hand with the jab while he was knocking dudes out left and right, 7-fight KO streak. Last 5 fights, the jab has completely disappeared. Yeah, he fought Fury 3 times, and he fought southpaw Luis Ortiz. That's the reason why the jab went away. But he became a little too in love with his power, Deontay Wilder. He was lighter on his feet against Helenius. Those training videos with Malik Scott, he was bouncing around the ring. He told everyone, I'm not going to be plodding forward. I'm going to be more moving around. I want to see if he does that against Joseph Parker. Are we going to see Wilder go back to that jab, that jab, boom, right hand? Or are we going to see more of a guy that's so in love with his power and he's just waiting on that one shot? Maybe a hybrid. So I want to see if Wilder can get back to that 7-fight knockout streak, which was all predicated off of a really good jab, something that fans don't give him credit for. You know, he had one of the better jabs in boxing.
Again, I'm going to bring up the age, 38 years old. Mm. Inactivity is another one. And yeah, looking good in the mitts is one thing, you know, doing things in sparring is one thing, fight night's another. And Joseph Parker is no slouch. He's been in with all of the top heavyweights in recent years. And also, I'm drawing a blank right name now on his name. New York coach that was working with Wilder during when he actually got him jabbing.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Mark Breland.
Breland, who is built exactly like Wilder,
best
and actually had a killer,
maybe the best
had
jab
a killer
ever.
Right hand and a beautiful jab. That's all they worked on. I remember those training videos. Once they fell out, the jab disappeared. So you want that good jabbing Wilder? Well, you know, Mark Breland's not in the picture anymore. So
you know why? Because he threw in the towel in that second Fury fight, and he fired him. fired him. It's a new Wilder, though. That was the old
fired
Wilder.
Fired him and he fired his jab that night, too, because he hasn't thrown it. He hasn't thrown it since.
He looked at his left hand and goes, you're fired. And now he's been. That was a horrible Trump impression. It's a new Deontay Wilder. We're seeing a more humble Deontay Wilder. Didn't want to talk trash to Joshua. He's not the same Wilder that said he wants a body on his record. I don't know how that plays into it. That's a whole psyche thing. The psyche stuff is more of Joshua's stuff. I do expect Wilder to win. I do expect him to look pretty bad early on and then find a rhythm. Parker's a much bigger underdog than Valine. He's plus 450 for this one. So odds makers aren't giving Parker that much of a chance in this one. Wilder by knockout is minus 400. So Vegas thinks that Wilder is going the distance here.
Hmm. Wow.
I don't think so. This goes the distance. I'm shocked.
I wouldn't be super shocked. Like I said, Parker is very, very durable. And Wilder's such a big favorite because people are basing the fact that Parker got stopped by Joe Joyce and then Joe Joyce got stopped by Zhang twice. Mm. And he looked so bad in those fights.
I wish Zhang was on this card.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
he's waiting though. He's waiting
in
the
about
wings.
Zhang. He's waiting in the wings. I mean, he deserved a little bit of time off. He had a killer year. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could see it going there. Parker's really solid.
You know what?
Right. Yeah, he's very fundamental in terms of his boxing skill set, and he's just very durable and solid. He's taking some big shots from the biggest guys in the world. Yeah. So, I mean, can he take Deontay? Deontay can knock out anybody. But I don't know if he's going to allow Deontay to hit him as clean as a lot of those other guys.
I guess what Vegas thinks is, like, Wilder's not a guy that gets all the TKO stuff. He gets one-punch knockouts. Maybe they're not going to see him kind of pile on in a later round and the ref waves it off. Maybe they see Parker, like you just said, only one stoppage loss. It's his second fight in 56 days. He's a little more active. Distance is interesting. Wilder, the decision is plus 650. Wilder knockout minus 400. Parker to win outright plus 450. That would be shocking. We'll see. And that one, that is the co-main event. They agreed that Joshua Valine will fight last. It's going to be a long pay-per-view, man. This isn't like they're not breaking it up into two different cards. They are just running it. Next heavyweight. You're not a heavyweight, but you're on the card. He's fighting Lyndon Arthur. Question in this one. We'll just go through the rest of the card. Quick questions. Can Bivol score his first knockout since 2017? Is this a precursor to a better BF fight?
He could. I don't think he will.
Lyndon Arthur is pretty tough. He's the IBO champion. We're not trying to glorify another sanctioning body. Lyndon Arthur is a great story. He won the title, kind of an overachiever. Throws a lot of jabs himself. Bivol throws a lot of jabs himself. This one might not be a banger. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not going to be a banger. It's going to be a jab fest. I want to see Bivol go for the knock. I don't think he has to, but they're talking about a better BF fight next in Saudi.
Cool. I love it. That's the fight that the world wants. I think both fighters want it too. I think Bivol wants it. I think Better BF wants it. It's the world deserves that fight. But listen, Lynn Arthur's tough, man. The guy, he beat Anthony Yard. Yeah, Yard came back to stop him, but he still beat him the first time. And Bivol can punch, but he's not necessarily a puncher. So I think we're gonna see a distance. I don't necessarily think he's gonna go for it, but I think he's also being out of the ring for so long. He's a rhythm fighter.
It's his first fight since the Canelo win.
Yeah, it's crazy. No, he had Gilberto
Ramirez. Right. Sorry. Yeah, it felt like that. See, that's right there. Shows you. I follow the sport like a fiend. And it's that long. I completely forgot about this guy. He beat Canelo Alvarez.
What was that, 14 months ago? 13, 14 months ago?
Zerto, like he beat last November.
October.
November-ish, November. October. Early November, he fought Zerto and wiped him out.
13 months ago.
Hasn't gotten a stoppage in quite a while. Is one of the better fighters in the world, just inactivity. I hope he gets the Better BF fight. Better BF has to beat Callum Smith January 13th.
Tough fight.
Not looking too far ahead. January is already loaded. Big fights every weekend. We'll get to that later. Dimitri Bivol, minus 2,500 favorite. They are not giving Lyndon Arthur a shot in this one. Let's see Bivol. Do they have it? Yeah, they have the props. Good DraftKings is on top of it. DraftKings knockout for Bivol -105. So it's pretty even. Plus -125 for a decision. They think it can go either way. I'd like to see Bivol get a stoppage. That would be a great build-up towards the better BF fight. Daniel Dubois, Jarrell Miller, the people's main event. Chris, you said it earlier. You don't like to give drug cheats any recognition. I do not like this reclamation project that Jarrell Miller is on. I hate that he's getting this stage. The man might have been the most notorious drug cheat in the history of boxing, and that's saying something. He also is the only fighter in the history of Inside Boxing Live, 7 years, to hang up on me in an interview. And you know why? It wasn't even anything I did wrong. This was right before he was about to sign with Matchroom. He'd already been signed with Salida and someone else. And I'm like, all right, you're about to sign with Matchroom. And he stops me. He goes, no, no, no. Do your homework, kid. Do your homework. I ain't signing with Matchroom. Do your homework. And he hangs up. And I'm like, and the next day, he signs with Matchroom. His publicist starts apologizing nonstop. And I'm like, dude, what the hell was that about? Anyway, I don't have a beef personal with him. It's the drug stuff. I do not like that he's getting this stage. I understand that heavyweight division is so thin and there's not enough in there to fill out this card. He's coming in huge. He's talking trash. I guess that's cool, but I'm hoping Dubois can lay a beat down on Jarrell Miller.
He won't. Jarrell's going to stop him.
Really?
Yep. Too big, too durable, throw so many punches. Dubois's going to quit late.
Well, he did throw a lot of punches when he was souped up on freaking every drug in the world. He was throwing 70, 80 punches around. He was the top. He was on the top of the list. It was like mm-hmm. him, Spence, Roman Gonzalez. I mean, know why he was on the top of that list? Because he was on copious amounts of anabolic steroids. I don't think he
honestly
can throw that much anymore.
I've known Jarrell for 20 years. He was a kickboxer. I knew him from his kickboxing days. He threw a lot of punches then, too.
Is he going to throw him even more when he's like 285 and he's not on the juice?
He doesn't need to. That's the thing. He's so goddamn big. I mean, he's like 3-something. He's good at imposing his size and his will. Dubois, we've seen him quit twice already. I think he's going to quit again. I think the pressure that Jarrell's going to put on him physicality wise and punching wise, Jarrell's not the biggest puncher by any means, but he's all over you. I mean, you got a 325 pound man who's athletic as Jarrell is all up in your face all night long. I don't know. We saw what happened with Dubois when Usyk started to put it on him and started to be more aggressive and really just got all over him. He folds. And now he's got a guy who's going to be 100 pounds heavier than Usyk and, who throws a lot of punches. And, yeah, he's going to be all over him.
Yeah, maybe. I'm hoping. I want to see Dubois win. He's a -260 favorite. It's not that big. Miller is a +200 underdog. The videos that I saw of him sparring, I mean, it's on everything, or like in the workout, Miller looks huge, and he's throwing so
gigantic.
Slow. Throwing slow combinations. I just wish he wasn't in. I wish he was in there somewhere with other than Dubois. You know, it's good matchmaking because we'll see what Dubois made of. This is like make or break. I think Frank Warren has thrown Dubois into the deep end time and time again, kind of rushed him, whether it was the beating he took from Joe Joyce, cashing out with that Usyk fight. It's two ways to look at it. He, made a lot of money early on, or they just kind of rushed his development. I don't know. This is a make or break for Dubois, for Miller. I fear a win will now springboard him into some of the bigger names in the division. Hate that. I'm all for fighters getting a second chance, but this is a guy who failed, multiple tests and hasn't really shown a lot of remorse. He did serve his time and all that, blah, blah, blah. He did hang up on me during an interview, but
he's shown zero remorse, by the way.
None.
He's failed every possible drug there is.
We're talking, yeah, but that's just boxing. They forget so fast. The fans are just
boxing is insane.
So willing to just forget and just move on. I'm seeing the tweets like, oh, he's hilarious. He's doing this. He's everywhere. DAZN's propping him up, which they have to. It's just crazy. And the reclamation project right before our eyes, it hurts a little bit. So I'm personally rooting for Daniel Dubois. Then what else we got? Frank Sanchez going to beat Junior Fa. Philip Hergovic is going to beat Mark DeMori. That is a complete mismatch. Jay Opatai from over in Australia, one of the best cruiserweights in the world. Intriguing because he gave up his title. He gave up his IBF belt. The IBF was like, you can't fight on this Saudi card. You have to fight Maris Bredas. Maris Bredas is like, my hand is broken. I cannot fight. So what does the IBF do? They strip Jay Opatai. And Jay Opatai goes, I don't care. I am the champ. Everyone knows that I'm the best cruiserweight in the world. I still have the Ring Magazine belt. I'm going to go to Saudi and get this life-changing bag. IBF, go kick rocks. And I like
good
that.
Good for you, dude. Good for you. I like that. I like him, man. He's talented. He can really fight. I don't think he's going to have a problem here in this fight either with Zorro. He's not been in at the level like Zorro. This. And I think Opatai is surging right now.
Yeah, those are like the three fights that I'm kind of least interested in, but I will still tune in.
You didn't mention Makhmudov.
I forgot. Yes.
I want to see where he's at, you know, because with his progression, he is a monster. You know, 18-0, 17 knockouts. The Lion. I've seen him on a couple top rank cards, top rank shows, just destroying people. So I don't, you know, he's in with a guy that is relatively unknown. It's not like he's, you know, fighting one of these big name guys, fighting some undefeated guy from Germany. But I like to see where his progression is, to see if he's going to be one of these major players eventually. But you know, it's always interesting to see where he's at.
It's going to be an awesome day of boxing. I'm excited for fight fans that they can experience something like this. Yeah, we're not getting the top fights that we want to see on this card, but it's still something new. It's something different. Wilder and Joshua on the same card is amazing. We can see Bivol step in the ring. We're going to see Miller. It's going to be an awesome experience just kind of watching along. We might do a live stream. We might not. Who knows? We got to see if our technology is up to snuff. I'll be in Long Island. I don't know where, Chris, you'll be for the holidays, but we're going to try to do something. We're going to do some type of coverage on Saturday, whether it's me on the live stream, me and Chris, some type of post-fight show. We'll have it all covered. I'll just run down my predictions. All right, Chris. Wilder, KO9. Joshua, unanimous decision. Dubois, TKO 10. Bivol, KO 8. Opatai, KO 7. Hergovic, KO 5. Sanchez, TKO 6.
Pretty solid, Dan. Pretty solid.
What do you got? Go down the list. Wilder.
I got Wilder. I got Wilder decision.
Okay.
Joshua decision. Bivol decision.
Let me write these down. Wilder decision.
Yeah, I'm going with that. I'm going with Vegas on this one. I hate agreeing with Vegas, but I'm going with Vegas on that.
Joshua?
I've been saying it from the beginning. Parker's a very solid guy, man.
And you're going Joshua?
Decision.
Oh, okay. Dubois?
Dubois.
Miller.
You said Miller stoppage. Miller stoppage, TKO 9.
Wow. TKO 9. The Bivol fight? You seen the knockout for Bivol or decision?
No, decision, but it's going to be, he's going to win every
120.
Second. Yeah.
120,
107.
107, excuse me. UD. Jay, our cruiserweight.
Opatai?
Yeah, I'm butchering his name, stoppage. I'm sure. KO?
Yeah.
What round?
KO. Dude, I might say early. I'm going to go 4.
Yeah, I went a little late on that. Hergovic. This is probably the biggest mismatch on the card.
Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah, this guy?
Hergovic's, you know, it's good he's on this card, but he's the mandatory for one of the belts, and he's been waiting for a long time. They're not going to mess that up.
Let me look at this guy real quick. I'm going KO1.
Oh, baby. Let's keep this pay-per-view moving. Put him first.
I'm going KO1.
And then we got Frank Sanchez Jr. Fa. Sanchez plays with his food a lot.
Yeah,
he's shown power.
I definitely his power, and Fa has been stopped, but I mean, he got stopped by Lucas Brown, which is crazy. I'm going to go Frank Sanchez. Hold on. Let me look at Frank real quick. What's he been
Frank,
doing lately?
Frank the Tank Sanchez had that big win over Efe Ajagba, has kind of sputtered a little bit. Like he's 30 years old, so he says.
Yeah, he's a Cuban 30.
So he's 51 years old.
43. I'm going to go TKO 8.
TKO 8. A lot of stoppages. Your main events or decisions. That's intriguing. In this one, it's going to be an awesome night, day, afternoon, however you spend it. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoyed this show. We'll have some type of coverage for you on Saturday. Also, the Monster, in a way, fights on the 26th. We'll have some type of podcast after that. It's super 8, early.
8 a.m. day after Christmas.
Woo! Yeah, I'm working it for CompuBox, not going to Japan. We'll be in our studio. Then we will have a post-fight show after Inoue, and that will be the last thing we do for the year because it's been a long, 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 long year of boxing. Not complaining. Love it. Love
no,
what I do.
Not at all. Much
love
better than last
what
year.
We do. It's a great, great gig. Love doing this every single week. Going to be interesting Saturday. The day of reckoning is upon us.
I'm going to have the espresso machine pumping that day.
Nice.
Gonna stay
charged up, Chris.
Charged up. It's
I think
a
we will do a live stream.
Card.
I'll do a live stream. Card. I'll host it. You hop in whenever you want.
Okay.
I'll try to find some guests. Maybe have Lou DiBella pop on. Bob Canobio, who will be next to me in his office. Have him hop in.
I'll have Paulie jump on.
Paulie, me and Bob will go at it.
They're not going to go at it.
No, Paulie Malignaggi, noted CompuBox hater. We had a sit down. We worked a bunch of MVP cards, and we broke bread, and we talked like men. Wait, I'm gone.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
We lost Dan.
I'm back. That's what happens when I bring up Paulie Malignaggi's name.
Yeah, the boxing gods do not like you talking badly about Paulie.
You sign off. Sign off for us, Chris. We lost my camera.
Well, we lost Dan, so we are out. What you're saying?
Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times.
Stay out of the DM.
Good night.